From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus in this message is Paul's epistle to the Colossians. The church at Colossae was in danger of being infected by a strange philosophy that claimed superior knowledge, which consisted of a mix of legalism, mysticism, and asceticism. Paul wrote this epistle to combat that danger by calling attention of the Colossian believers to the fullness which is in Christ. His central theme is the person of Jesus Christ and the relationship which he sustains to his people. Contrary to the vain deceits which the false teachers were trying to impose on the church, Paul argued that Christ is the all-sufficient Savior, to whom nothing needs or can be added. In the course of the epistle, Paul emphasized that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this study of Colossians under the title, The Fullness of Christ. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, We Dare Not Doubt. The text is Isaiah 45 and verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. This was for Cyrus, but it is evermore the heritage of all the Lord's own spiritual servants. Only let us go forward by faith, and our way will be cleared for us. Crooks and turns of human craft and satanic subtlety shall be straightened for us. We shall not need to track their devious windings. The gates of brass shall be broken, and the iron bars which fasten them shall be cut asunder. We shall not need the battering ram nor the crowbar. The Lord himself will do the impossible for us, and the unexpected shall be a fact. Let us not sit down in coward fear. Let us press onward in the path of duty. For the Lord hath said it, I will go before thee. Ours not to reason why, ours but to dare and dash forward. It is the Lord's work, and he will enable us to do it. All impediments must yield before him. Hath he not said, I will break in pieces the gates of brass? Who can hinder his purpose or balk his decrees? Those who serve God have infinite resources. The way is clear to faith, though barred to human strength. When Jehovah says, I will, as he does twice in this promise, we dare not doubt.
Not to you, the soon be seen, the soul.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
You see, what Paul is saying is it's not enough to have your head chock full of theology. It's not enough to be able to recite proof texts. It's not enough to know off by heart the answer to certain theological questions. It's not enough to have filled your mind and your heart with the theory. This has got to get down into your soul so that you walk in the light of what you believe concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Colossians is all about. This entire little book is about Christology taught and applied. Now, Paul's great central theme can be very easily summed up. What he's saying is this: the fullness of God dwells in Christ, and through Christ flows to all his people. Therefore, Christians should govern all their belief and all their behavior in the light of this central truth. Now, follow that carefully, for this is Paul's great theme here. The fullness of God fills Christ. The fullness of Christ fills his people. Therefore, the fullness of his people entirely fits them for life, both now and forever. They live in the light of the fullness of Christ. That's his theme. Now let's take it bit by bit. We'll start with this. The fullness of God fills the Lord Jesus Christ. There are three great texts in Colossians that you should have at your fingertips. First, we have in chapter 1, verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Then secondly, chapter 2, verse 3, in whom, that is in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then verse 9, in him, again, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, it's very important that we should understand that this fullness is what theologians call a communicated fullness. In other words, it's a fullness that God gave to his incarnate Son. This is not describing that essential eternal relationship which the Son had with the Father in the Trinity. You see, there are two lines of thought, and we find them in chapter 1. There are two lines of thought here. One, that divine fullness belongs to the Son of God, because he is the Son of God. Essentially, the eternal Son has all fullness. He is God. But then there's a second thought, and that is that there is a communicated fullness, and that belongs to the incarnate Son as the Christ. Now, chapter 1 makes this very clear. Let's make a couple of statements here that I think should make things plain. Number 1. The Son is truly God. Look at verse 15 of chapter 1. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He's the image of the Father. Now, the word image there does not mean a mere likeness. I don't want to get very philosophical here, but there was a great, I think it was a German theologian years ago, who was talking about this idea of the image. We think of an image as when you look in a mirror. Well, actually, that's not an image. A photograph is not an image. That's simply a representation produced by rays of light, nothing more or less. But his idea was, the more perfect the image is, then the more equality there is between the thing and the image of the thing. See, when you look in a mirror, you get an outline. You don't get an image. You don't see your inside, for a start. You don't see your back. You don't see your ego. You don't see your mind. You don't see your thoughts. All you get is an outline. That's not an image. It's a likeness. Gives you an idea of what you look like. Though, mind you, just in passing, let me tell you, especially you ladies, be aware of it. The way you look at yourself is not exactly the way everybody else looks at you, so don't let it worry you too much. But an image that is absolutely perfect is the image not merely of the outline, but of the essence. So that the thing and the image of the thing, if it is a real perfect image, are equal. That's what we have in the idea here. He is the image of the Father. He is the entire, the total, the perfect mirror image of the Father. More than that, he is the manifestation of God to every intelligent creature. No creature, be he angel, devil, or man, has ever perceived deity except in and through the person of the Son of God. He is the image of the Father. More than that, verse 15 and verse 17, he is eternal. We read that he is the firstborn of every creature. Some heretics take that to mean that he is the first creature ever made. That's not what it's saying. The word firstborn here simply means that he's begotten before all creation. When you read books of theology, you'll find, and apologetics particularly, they go back to God as the great first cause of all creation. I have a little bit of difficulty with that. God is not the necessary first cause. He is the necessary being who did cause all creation. But you see, when you make a necessary first cause, you not only make the cause necessary, you make the effect necessary, because the word cause is meaningless without an effect. And of course, creation is not necessary. It is the result of the free will and choice of God. So I'm not going to say that this begotten before all creation makes Christ the necessary first cause of creation. What I will say, to use a bigger word, and I hope a simpler word, he is the necessary, eternally necessary antecedent, that which goes before all creation. In other words, apart from him, there could be no creation. He is eternal. Verse 17 says, he is before all things. So he's the image of the Father. He's eternal. Then verse 15 to 17 again, he is the Creator. I don't have time to develop these, but watch the three great statements. First of all, in him, all things were created. Secondly, through him, all things were created. And finally, for him, or unto him, all things were created. And that is why we read in verse 17, by him, or in him, all things consist. The word consist means cohere, or hang together in organized dependence on Christ. That's a big statement, you know. He is the Creator. All things that are in creation. You look out into outer space. Astronomers nowadays are talking about galaxies upon galaxies. They're talking about things that now baffle the understanding. Maybe I should rephrase that and say they have always talked about things that baffle the understanding. These things just baffle the understanding a little bit more. The Hubble telescope is, for all its flaws, flying around in space, and it is sending back information about the complexity and the vastness of this great universe. There are things that are very, very difficult for scientific theorists even to come up with some sort of a theory that will explain all the given data. But one thing we do know, no matter how scientific theory changes, all this vast creation hangs together in organized dependence on Christ. That's what Paul is saying. So it is utter folly to seek the truth and the meaning of creation, whether it's in astronomy or in biology or in physics or in chemistry or in any other part of scientific study. It is crazy to seek the truth and the meaning of creation apart from Christ, because it all coheres, it all has its place and its meaning in the Lord Jesus. So he is truly God, and as such he is essentially full. Fullness belongs to him. But You see, this Son of God, who is eternally God, became our Savior. That means he became a man. And as a man, to him the Father gave all the grace he needed to be our perfect Redeemer. Now here we get into the mystery of the Incarnation, and I must confess that we cannot comprehend it. At best, we can describe it. That's what the Shorter Catechism does. It's what's called Chalcedon Christology. After the Council of Chalcedon in the year 451, where they give the best theological statement about the person of Christ, bringing together all the teaching of the Word of God. The Shorter Catechism sums it up in the answer to the question, who is the Redeemer of God's elect? The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. Now, that doesn't define anything. That simply describes. That's taking various statements from the Bible and putting them together. As God, all fullness of deity belongs to the Son. But as man, all the fullness of grace was given him to fill him for his work. Now let me give you what the Scripture says about God bestowing grace on Christ as the Savior. John 3, verse 34, the Spirit was given without measure unto Christ. Luke 4, verse 18, the Lord Jesus quotes from Isaiah 61, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach. In Matthew 12, verse 18, there is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 41, again where the Lord is promising to give his Spirit to his servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you go back to chapter 41, you'll find in verse 6, the Father says to the Son, I will help thee. In chapter 50 of Isaiah, and in verse 4, we have the Son speaking now. And he says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Here are texts of Scripture that all point in one direction, that God gave the grace. God bestowed upon his Son as the mediator the fullness that made him the perfect Savior. And this is what the three texts that I have read to you this morning from Colossians 1:19 and chapter 2, 3 and 9. This is what they're saying. John Owen, the great Puritan theologian, summed it up beautifully. He said, there is no grace that is not in Christ. And every grace is in him in the highest degree. The fullness of God fills the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.